Good morning, world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin is daf Zayin, and we started our sugya that we mentioned yesterday. We're going to have a nice time with today. We started yesterday on daf Vav Amud Aleph, and we went through quite a few different shitas that I want to remind you of, because we're going to be going through each one of them again today, so it's good for us to keep them in mind. We started off at the bottom of Vav Amud Aleph. We started off with the shita of an unnamed Tana Kama. We're not quite sure it is, but it was a Tana Rabbana right at the bottom of the daf over there, which spoke about this concept of bitsua. And bitsua, we understood, meant compromise solutions in arbitration, essentially. And the Rabbana said that in the same way that you need three people for a bezdin, you also need these three people for bitsua, which was sort of unusual, but we'll examine that. And he added, but once it's nigmar hadin, he didn't define what that meant, but once it's nigmar hadin, at that point, you are not allowed to do a compromise solution. So a bitsua or a pshara is usur according to the Tana Kama, if you're already completed the din. We don't know exactly what that means, but we mentioned yesterday Machlokas Rashi Tosfos, whether it was the ability to stand up and say, okay, you are Chayev, you are Zakai, or whether it's the actual getting up and saying it, which is the way Rashi learned. We'll explore it more later today. Then we had the second Shita. The second Shita was Rabbi Yezer ben Osho, Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, and he took the stand that it's prohibited. You cannot do an arbitrated solution. And he went to town, called a botseya, raised a chote. And if you even say good things about a botseya, you're angering a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Nietz Hashem. And he contrasted Moshe Rabbeinu's Yikov Adina Tahar with Aaron, who was the Redev Sholem. And before people would get to the point of actually coming to court, he would go and work things out with them. So this was a proactive approach. It wasn't giving people an option after they've already come to court. It was making sure that they settle before they come to court. Okay, this, of course, has its modern counterparts as well. So this was Rabbi Yossi, this was Rabbi Elazar ben Osho, Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, who says that it's usur to be botseya, but it's a big mitzvah, obviously, to do things like Aaron et cetera, to people avoid needing to go through the court system. Bichlal, that's something else. Then we had the shita of Rabbi Eliezer, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar ben Osho, Rabbi Yossi HaGalili, and he was saying that this idea, botseya berech nietz Hashem, is just a reference to people who would say a bracha on something that was stolen. Okay, we're going to talk about that also later today, but doesn't seem to have an opinion, legabe, the question of whether compromise is a good idea or not. Then we had Rabbi Meir Shita about that, and that it was a reference to Yehuda in our parsha. Then getting back to the main topic, which is compromise versus din, we had Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha said, actually, it's a mitzvah to go out and reach a compromise solution because of the idea of mishpat and shalom. And mishpat and shalom, according to him, only goes together if all parties are satisfied. So he compares that to David HaMelech, who would do mishpat and tzedakah. So this was his approach. And then we had another braita, which was the equivalent of the Tana Kama, we said, and that is that when you see that somebody was high of money, then David HaMelech, he would actually pay out of his own pocket. And then we got another shita, bichlal, about the whole idea. That was Reb Shimon ben Manasseh. Reb Shimon ben Manasseh said that when two people come to court, until you have an intuitive sense of what's going to happen, then you can actually offer them a compromise. But once you understand the direction that this din is taking, you do not have a right to offer a compromise. So, okay, we're going to have to examine how that is different from the things that we've said until now, like the Tana Kama's approach. It's humble. That's exactly what we're going to be doing today. So according to him, he puts in this new idea, which is obviously different than the way we said before, nigmar hadin versus lo nigmar hadin. Over here, it's just having an idea where the din is heading towards. So that's quite clear that it's different from the way that we had it earlier. And that was Rav Shimon ben Manasseh. And we had a few other issues that we're going to get back to today, which is about the Talmidim, whether Talmidim are supposed to interrupt the actual proceedings and say that I think the rabbi is making a mistake and correct the dayan, or whether they should keep their mouth shut and assume it's none of their business. So we said it's usur for a Talmud not to talk. Anyway, those are the shittas that we spoke about yesterday. And today, the Gemara is going to go through each one of them so we can understand the subtleties by which they differ one from the other. So remember that the first thing we said was that, according to the Tanna Kamma, if there's a Gemar Din, then it's prohibited to offer a compromise. So we're up to three lines up from the bottom, and on the base, and above on the base, when the Gemara wants to clarify what is meant by that word, Gemar Din. Hechidami Gemar Din. Om Rav Yonah Marav, well, it consists of the judge getting up and saying, Ish ploni ata chayav, ish ploni ata zakai, and that's it. And as we saw yesterday, Tosa said it can't mean literally that, because then who in the world would go for a compromise once they know that they just won a $2 million case? But as we pointed out, you could still say that that's the pshat. Okay, Omer Rav, Halacha k'Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha. So now, we're supposedly, Rav is quoted over here, of paskening specifically like Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha in this, and we assume that the meaning of Yoshua ben Korcha, his psak, was that it's actually a mitzvah to go ahead and to make a compromise. Ask the Gemara, but that doesn't seem to be the case, because Rav Huna was the famous Talmud of Rav, and when a case would come to Rav Huna, he would say to them, all right, gentlemen, before we begin, would you want pure justice, or do you want a compromise? Whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Now, if it's true that the halacha is like Rav Yeshua ben Korcha, then how can he leave it up to them? If it's a mitzvah, mitzvah livtzoa, that's what Rav Yeshua ben Korcha said. If it's really a mitzvah, what's he leaving it up to them for? He should say to them, look, gentlemen, we have a mitzvah. The Torah says we should reach compromises. I'm going to give you a compromise. I'm not going to let you go for the jugular over here, right? Says the Gemara, no, wrong. When Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha says mitzvah liftsoa, he doesn't mean it's a mitzvah to get people to compromise, and therefore the judge should see to it that he keeps pressuring them to reach a compromise. Is that what it means? Mitzvah liftsoa simply meant mitzvah lemeimra lahu. It was a mitzvah to present the option of a compromise. He never meant to say that a judge should be actively pursuing this compromise and not let them do the din. So that's exactly what he meant. Mitzvah to say to them, would you prefer a din or would you prefer a pshara? So that would make it perfectly in line with the psak that we were told that Rav holds like Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. So Rav Huna was doing precisely what his Rebbe Rav said to do, present the option of a compromise that is a mitzvah. But what? But isn't that the same thing that the Tanna Kamma said? The Tanna Kamma said the compromise, unless it's already Nigmar HaDin, right? So isn't that the same thing? So I know Tanna Kamma. I mean, you're saying that it's not a mitzvah to actually compromise. You're just saying that you can offer the compromise. That's the mitzvah. So what's the difference between that and the Tanna Kamma, who said that you can go ahead and offer a pshara until Nigmar HaDin? What do you mean? There's a tremendous difference. The Tanna Kamma never said it was a mitzvah. The Tanna Kamma said you are allowed to compromise. And that means that it's basically something that the dayan is going to feel out and what it is that he feels ought to be done in this case. But it's not that there is a actual mitzvah to go and to see to it that they know that they can compromise. But Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha sovra mitzvah. The Tanna Kamma just said you're allowed to compromise. He said that, and he says you're only allowed to compromise until Nigmar HaDin. Did he ever say anything about it's a mitzvah to compromise while you're able to compromise? No. So we have a Tanna Kamma that says that you're allowed to compromise up until Nigmar HaDin. We have Rabbi Yoshua ben Korcha who says it's a mitzvah to compromise, but that means only a mitzvah to present the option of a compromise. Now, hold on a second. But then that means that what the Tanakhama was saying, you're saying is only that it's an option. If it's only an option, then isn't that saying exactly the same thing as Rabbi Yehoshua ben Menasseh said? That was the thing, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh. Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh said, Shnayim shebo lefanecha ledin, before you know the direction that the direction that the case is headed in, you are actually able to offer them a compromise. This is a mitzvah, tarashai. You're able, lomar lem tzu vitzu. Tell them they have an option to compromise. But that now you're saying that's what the Tanakhama is saying. So I don't understand. I thought originally the Tanakhama was saying it's a mitzvah to offer. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Korach was saying it's a mitzvah to insist and to make sure you get the compromise. And so on. Now you're telling me, no. Actually, Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, who says that it's okay to compromise until such time as you have an intuitive grasp of where things are heading, is telling you only that it's okay. So it's essentially, all right, you have the right to compromise. What's the difference between the Tanakhama? There is no difference, my dear. There's no difference in terms of whether it's a mitzvah or whether it's a reshus, but the difference is until what point? What's the matter with you? The Tanakhama said, until Nigmar Haddin. Only at Nigmar Haddin do you have to stop offering them a compromise and not allow. They have to go through with the din. But according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, the moment that you had an intuitive grasp, which is way before you actually have examined all of the sides to come up with a concrete conclusion, or actually said the words according to Rashi, Ploni ata zakai, Ploni ata chayav, according to him, you have to stop offering a compromise, even as an option, way before the Tanakhama. That's the difference between them. It isn't a difference in a fundamental tfisa of whether we're talking about a mitzvah or a reshus, but the shir is a different shir. Therefore, says the Gemara, Ikebenayu, and the difference is that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Menasseh, he said, Mishat Tishma Divrayam, the moment you heard what it is that they have to say, and Atayodea Lahechan Adinote, and you know intuitively where it's going, only up to that point you can do it. But from that point on, so you can't even tell them, I'm giving you this option to compromise. All right, the Tanakhama held until you actually, according to Rashi, you literally say and proclaim what the verdict is, or according to Tosis, you are about to proclaim, but before you do, you offer them the option. All right, getting back now. So after that, we got into the discussion of how exactly do we read the Pasuk of Votzea Berech Mietz Hashem, remember? So the Votzea Berech was Rabbi Eliezer, we said Rabbi Eliezer ben Asher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili. He was saying that Pusk is talking about a person who says, what a wonderful judge that guy is. He always arbitrates. So no, on the contrary, that's a bad judge. So that was Rabbi Eliezer ben Asher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili's take on it. Now, he obviously disagrees with the whole point of Reb Tanchum Baruch Haniloi. Because what's really cute that works out over here, if you remember, it was that shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Asher, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who said, look, that's the difference between a Moshe and an Aaron. So Moshe was Yikov Adin HaZahar, and Aaron was always Radev Shalom, and he was the one who was bringing compromises, but not compromises once you came to court, according to me. Compromises that prevent you from coming to court. So reach a solution before you get to court, right? Now, what's interesting is that Reb Tanchum Baruch Haniloi says that the very pasuk about Botzea Berech Nietz Hashem is referring to Aaron HaKohen. How is that? Because the one big compromise that Aaron made was that he made the Egel Azov. And that was a compromise solution. Because basically, he only had two very bad options, right? One option was that he was going to fight them off and they would murder him, same way they did to Chur. The other one was, well, he would make the Egel and then hope for the best that afterwards, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu would come down or they would do teshuva and so on and so forth. So that, says Reb Tanchum Baruch Haniloi, that's what it's referring to, that lo ne'ema mikra zeh, ela k'neged ma'aseh ha'egel. the Botzea Berechs, though the guy who says that the big compromiser, that's Aaron HaKohen, that he's a good guy, that is an absolute insult to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's about the Maisa Egel, Shenemar Vayar Aharon Vayiven Mizbeach Lefanav. Aharon saw? Saw what? I don't know. It says Aharon saw, and he built a Mizbeach in front of that Egel. Well, what exactly did he see? Omer Rabbi Yom Bar Yefet, Omer Rabbi Elazar, he saw the mob attack on Hur, and he saw that Hur was actually murdered. Hur was his nephew, Miriam's son, right? And he told them, you're not allowed to build this, it's like an Avodah Zarah, and they killed him. So he saw Hur's Avuach Lefanav, and he said to himself, look, Ilon Shamanu Luhash, if I don't do what they want right now when they're a crazed mob, they'll do exactly the same thing to me. So Avdu Likida Avdu Bechur, if they do that, that is the end, because then we're going to have the same situation that we have, it speaks about, remember, after Zechariah Hanavi was killed and his blood was bubbling up from the floor and almost a million people were killed by the Mustradon, who was attempting supposedly to placate the dam of Zechariah. And that is what was spoken about in Eicha, where it says, Im yeh hareg b'migdash Hashem kohen v'navi. So apparently that's like, there's no kapora for that. That caused the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. And so Aaron said, oh my God. So if they kill me, then that's going to be even worse than the murder of Zechariah. Like one of the primary Nevi'im over here, and I'm the Kohen. And that's what they're going to do. So therefore, lo havilu takanta li'olam, there's not going to be any kapora on this. Better, I'll make them the ego. At least, efshar havilu takanta b'tshuva. So then, okay, so then they can do teshuva. That's not as bad as murdering Aaron HaKohen. So that would be the exact opposite way of Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi's Limra Botzea Berech Latavka, where he was contrasting Aaron and Moshe, right? Lovely. Okay, anyway, the next thing that we had was that it was Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh who said that why do we say that once you know where the din is going, you're not allowed to even mention making a compromise? So he brought that beautiful pasuk, Poter Mayim Reshit Madon. So that was the idea that if you're going to be Poter, the Riv, the Mayim being over here, the swift flowing water in which people are attempting to deflect the other person's stream of Tainas. So that's only at the beginning of the din. That's how he understood that pasuk. But what about everybody else? I mean, the Tanakhama doesn't agree with that. They allowed you to go ahead up until the Gemar Din. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha for sure didn't. I mean, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha said that it's a mitzvah and so on. So I understand. What did they do with the pasuk? Doesn't it say that it has to be Poter Mayim Reshis Madon? So how did they understand Poter Mayim Reshis Madon? Hanitanoi Poter Mayim Reshit Madon, my darshibe. They understand that pasuk to be referring to the din of a human being after his death, that the first thing, Reshit Madon, the first thing that a person has to answer for in the Beit Din Shel Mala, says Ravuna, Ain't Chilat Dino Shel Adam Nidon Ela Al Divrei Torah. The first question that he's going to have to answer is learning Torah. And therefore, he is very advised to make certain to have the kvias of learning Torah. Okay, it's a very interesting question. If you remember that we went through V'haya Emunah Sitecha Chochmas, so on and so forth, through Chochmas Vadas, that those are the questions that are asked. And according to that, Natsata V'natata Be'emunah, your honesty in business is the first question. And only afterwards are you asked if kavata itim latera, which is the remez in the pasuk. Emuna, meaning your faithfulness in business, itecha, are your sidorim. So Tosfos answers, that's true. But that's referring to a person who learns, he just doesn't have a seder for learning. Here we're talking about a person who doesn't learn Torah, that's his first thing that he has to answer for. Omer Rav Huna. Now, Rav Huna has a different pshat in Poter Mayim Reshit Madon. He says, you know what it means? It's giving you a beautiful metaphor to what these types of legal tangles, what they're like. So, Hai Tigra, this type of argumentation is Dami Litsinura de Bitka de Maya. You know what it's like? It's like you have a dam, and you've got that this little break at the top of the dam, right? So the water starts gushing over that, and it keeps eating away, and it rapidly widens until the entire thing is destroyed. So it's Kivan de Ravach Ravach. Once it starts getting wider, it keeps growing. You think you're going to resolve something by going to the Beis Din? On the contrary, you're going to be getting involved in litigation over decades. You're going to be crazy. So this was the same issue as the make sure that you compromise before you get to that Tigra. So that's how he understands it. So he's learning that the Reish the Poter Mayim, that if you're opening up a place for this water of argumentation, then Reshit Madon, that is the beginning of a long story of litigation. Abaye Kashisha says, you know what it's like? It's Domi Laguda de Gamla. Kivan de Kam, Kam. You know, when you put in one of the boards in those bridges, those rope bridges, everything is like very, very unsteady. But after you walk over it a couple of times, and then it just becomes more and more kavua. Well, that's what it's like. By the fifth time that you're in the courtroom, this is a way of life. Like this, there's no way that you're going to give up on the slightest possible advantage on getting a new lawyer, on fighting new. Forget it. I mean, there's no way out of this. All right. So once we already have this Poter Mayim, so we're looking for the way that people have sayings about things. And now we find a pasuk that is actually a reference to that saying. So this is a very sweet Gemara where we're going to go through the same type of thing. So there was a guy that used to walk around all the time. You know, Tuve de Shoma v'Adish, Chalfua Bishte Mea. So he used to have this little saying that he would walk around with. This was like his motto in life. Happy is the guy who hears, meaning he hears all of the things that people are saying about him, and he would sue these people. If he were one of these kind of guys, he would sue this person for defamation and this person for false advertising. But happy is the guy who hears things, goes in one ear and out the other one, and he remains adish. He's like, yeah, it doesn't make any difference to him. That kind of guy, because he doesn't say anything, he just saved himself bishte meya, 100 kind of ridiculously embarrassing situations. The more he would have responded to each one of those things, the worse of a life he would have had. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda when he heard that guy, he said, I don't know, what does a guy have to talk about his own formulation of a pasuk? That's what the pasuk means when it says, Poter Mayim, Reshit Madon. So that the starting, the Reshit Madon, the way I understand the remes is, Resh Mea Dine. So he said he saved himself 100 appearances in court. Exactly, Reshit Madon. So it would be the beginning of 100 appearances in court. Oh, she's just telling you the pasuk. Now, there was another guy who would always go along talking, and he would say, you know, for stealing 2 or 3 times, you don't get the chair. Meaning that, you know, you think that everything's okay and that you managed to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it forever. They're going to get you. So Omer le Shmuel Rav Yehuda, this guy also, all he's doing is saying a pasuk. Ko amar Hashem. You know, 3 or 4 times I'll let them get away with it. That's exactly what it says in Amos. There was another guy that would walk around and he would say, you know, shave bire lishalmana, but chada la'avid bish. There could be 7 traps in the way of a man who's searching for shalom. He'll be saved from them. But there would be just one in front of the guy that's always looking for trouble. He'll fall right into it. And this guy also, it's a pasuk. It says, Sheva yipold sadik v'kam, urishaim yikashlu bera'ah. It's basically saying the same thing. A tzaddik can fall 7 times. Doesn't matter. He gets up and learns from his mistakes. But the first time, which is the mashmaut, that Russia is going to completely stumble the first time he's hit. Was another guy who used to walk around, and he would say, if a guy walks out of court and he doesn't have a shirt on his back because they took away every penny he's got, he should be sitting singing as he walks down the street for his good fortune, because he should be so happy that he's leading an honest life that is now mitukan, according to the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. What a relief. Now, at least I know. Wouldn't we all love to know? Like, walking around all the time, you know. How messed up am I? It would be nice to find out, wouldn't it? So, you should be very happy. Amrali Shmuel to Rav Yehuda. So, Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, that's also a pasuk. It says that Vegam kol ha'am hazel mekom oyevol b'shalom. So when Yisro tells the Eitzah how it is that there's going to be a din, everyone will then come home happy. What do you mean everyone? Some people are going to be out the shirt off their backs. True, but they're all going to come home singing. That is exactly that point. Another guy, he was walking along, and he would always say, you know, he naima, the lady who's doing the sewing, she starts falling asleep on the job, v'dikula shafio, and her sewing basket ends up falling off of her head. Meaning, if you're not doing your job correctly, you're not paying enough attention, then the work is going to be destroyed. Well, of course. It's exactly a pasuk. I don't know what these guys have to make up these things for. There's another guy who was walking along, and he was very bitter by the way his partners had treated him. Oh, he would say, the very guy that I trusted the most, he's the guy that picks up his fist and puts it in my face. Ah, that's an easy one. It's exactly a pasuk beferish. Another guy. This guy said, you know, when me and my wife were really in love, we could have slept together on the edge of a sword. Now, let me tell you something. You got a bed that's 60 feet wide. It ain't wide enough for me. So that's the way he used to talk. So he would say, when our love was strong, we would be able to sleep together on the edge of a sword. But ashta de lo aziz erachimtin, puria bar shitin garmide lo sagilan. A bed that's 60 amas wide is not big enough for the two of us. Amar Rav Huna, that's a pasuk. I mean, it's not a single pasuk, but I mean, if you take a look at the change in the love relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So what does it say? First, when Hashem gives us the Mishkan, it's v'no'adeti l'chasham, v'dibarti t'chami'ala kaporet. So where does the Shechina appear to us? And where does he speak with us? And where is he close with us? And a little tiny bit on the kaporet, you know, the Oren is tisha, the kaporet is a tefach, and it's so thin, and there was plenty of room for all of the world to be together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you had a total 10 tefachim height and the one tefach. But that was when things were good. But afterwards, what happens? Then, Habayit Asher Bana HaMelech Shlomo LaHashem, Shishim HaMarko, Esrim Rachbo, Shloshim HaMakomato. And what do we find HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying about how he lived in that enormous Beis HaMikdash, which was this massive structure? Ah, Komar Hashem, HaShamayim Kisi V'Horetz HaDom Raglai. Is a bayit asher tivin? What are you kidding? I'm going to be able to come down into this little creepy place? So you see that even the Beis HaMikdash, 60 amas, not big enough. Same exact thing that guy said. 60 amas, right? The 60 amas bed, not big enough for me. No, it says Rav Huna. It's mamish, the situation in the pasuk. Okay, anyway, I mentioned to you before that sort of throwaway line of Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha, where he said that the idea of lo taguru mipnei ish is meant to be understood not just kepshutai. Lota guru, do not be afraid of anybody, you know, because that you might feel is going to try to take vengeance against the judge who paskes against him. So we had yesterday that Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha said that you can understand the word lota guru as meaning do not store your words. If you are a Talmud, don't keep it inside. Let it out. Well, I got to let it out. Exactly. If you hold that a dayan is making a mistake, so then you have to say. But that is an understanding of the word taguru as keeping things in. Where do we see that taguru could mean that? My mashma dahai lo taguru lishnen dechanushehu, Omer of Nachman, it says in the Pasuk, v'yayin lo tishte v'lo te'egors. In the Kololos, it says that you will not drink and you won't have any to store either of wine. Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, it says in the Pasuk, tachin b'kayetz lachma agra b'katsir ma'achala. So here we have the learn from nature, see the way that an ant spends the entire summer preparing all of her food for storage. Agra b'katsir ma'achala. She stores all of those seeds and food for the difficult times. So agra obviously means agur, lo tagur. Rav Acha b'Reda Ravika says, mehocha, oger b'kayetz ben maskil. The ben, who is a maskil, he spends his summertime not on the beach, he spends his summertime collecting for the tough times ahead. Okay, next we have Rav Shmuel bar Nachmini, Omar Rabbi Yonatan. So we have a number of different mamores that are in the name of Rabbi Yonatan, given over by Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmini. Oh, we talk about din. So called Dayan Shedan Din Emet La'amito. We know what a din emet la'amito means. He doesn't just go by the book. He doesn't just go by what it is that the Edim say. He goes by his sense of what needs to be examined. He pushes and probes and sees to it that he can find any type of crack that may crack open the case. And he actually sees to it that in the end, the din is not just about the type of things that people may be lying about, but he doesn't say, well, you know, I have a right to rely on two witnesses. He makes sure that it's not only a din emet, but it's a din emet la'amito. So any dayan who does that, mashre shchina b'Yisrael, he causes the shchina kedesha to be within Klal Yisrael. Where do we see that? Shemar Elohim nitzav ba'adat el, bekerav Elohim yishpot. So why is the shchina, why is Elohim nitzav ba'adat el? Because it's basically in the midst of the Kerav Elohim. So that means that it's entirely based on what Elohim himself would see. They're acting as his Elohim. But a dayan that goes by the book, an enodan din emet la'amito, and he has a sense that he ought to be looking further into it, but he says, okay, you know, this is the rules. Go by the rules, and you gorim l'shchina shetistalek mi'Yisrael. Because of the way that people steal from the poor, from the cries of those who have nothing, it's because of that I'm getting the hell out of here, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, atakum, I'm leaving. Yom Reb Shmuel ben Nachmini, Yom Reb Yonatan. Kol dayan, shenoto mizeh v'notin lezeh shelo kedin. If a judge ends up taking shelo kahalocha from one person and giving it to another person where it ought to have been the other way around, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the same thing, but he ain't taking money. He's taking life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu notom mimenu nafsho. Shenemar al tigzol dol. This was exactly the Rabbeinu Bachya's this week's introductory pasuk, right? And we just spoke about it yesterday. Al tigzol dol ki dalhu ki Hashem yariv rivam v'kova et koveim nafesh. So we not only had Yehuda and Otzei Aberech and all of that, we even get the Rabbeinu Bachya in the Gemara. I'm telling you, absolutely perfect timing. What happens to those people that don't keep up with the correct dafyomi? My God. V'yomar Reb Shmuel bar Nachmini, Amar Rabbi Yonatan, Le'olam yireh dayan atzmo kilu cherev munachat lo bein yarchutav. A judge should always view himself as sitting on a knife edge that's right between his legs. You know what's coming off. Actually, the Rambam has a different gears over here, apparently, because he brings the halacha as if there's a sharp sword against his neck. Well, I'm not sure which one is more frightening, but this is sure a very powerful image, you know. V'gehenim patuach lo mitachtav. And his parts are going to fall right into the hell that's open beneath him. So he ought to be very careful, because remember what it says in the description of Shlomo HaMelech's sense of where things are going in Shirat Shirim. Hinei mitato shel Shlomo shishim giborim soviv lo migiborei Yisrael. Kulam akuzei cherev. All of them are basically holding their swords. Melumedei milchama. These people are terrified, and they're fighting with each other to make sure that they have the correct halacha. Because why? They're terrified of the night. What is night? Fear of making a mistake in a din and burning in hell, which is very much like being in the dark.
Beit David, Koh Amar Hashem, Dinu LaBoker Mishpat, Ve'atzilu Gazul Miyad Oshek.
So what exactly is the meaning of that pasuk? What's this say? This is the way that Yirmiyahu speaks to the Malchus. Do din in the morning? Why in the morning? V'chi baboker danim? V'chol hayom ein danim? I mean, there's no din specifically in the morning. Ela im barulacha davar baboker omreyu. V'im lav alt omreyu. Look, you're not mechuyev to say a judgment because, well, I got to say something. I'm not absolutely sure, but, you know, I'm 70% sure this is the din. If you're not absolutely sure, then let somebody else judge the case and disqualify yourself or add dayanim. This is what we do when somebody doesn't have an opinion. But don't say anything that is not as clear to you as the morning breaking. Reb Chiya bar Ava Omer Reb Yochanan, that I know from the pasuk, Emor lechokhma achoti at. Why should you speak to wisdom and call wisdom my sister? Well, let me ask you something. Do you know that you're not going to be marrying your sister? Is that absolutely clear to you? Have any kind of doubts about that question? So, im barur lecha hadavar ke'achutcha she'yasur alecha. If things are as clear to you about the relationship that you have with your sister, so then omreyu. But im lav, al tomreyu. You do not have to feel pressure to have an opinion. Om Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if you've got 10 people that are all sitting there in a bezdin, so then all of them are responsible for what comes out of that bezdin. Well, I should hope so, says the Gemara. That's sort of pshita, isn't it? I mean, whoever was part of the din is taking responsibility. No, I'm not talking about the dayanim. Of course the dayanim have to take responsibility. I'm talking about the talmidim. So remember, we've got all those Talmidim that are present in a Besdin. They could have opinions, and they could hold that the Dayan is making a mistake. But even though, this is like the Pesuk we have, Lo Taguru. Lo Tzricha Lo LaTalmida Yoshev Lifnei Rabo. So you're going to have 10 Talmidim there. None of them have the guts to say anything. Well, then they're all going to be sharing the responsibility for the Pesach that was wrong. There's no such thing as saying, well, look, it's a good thing I'm not the judge. Ravuna, ki avi'ati dina lekame. When Ravuna had people come for a din, he would first go to the Beis HaMedrash, and he would ask 10 people to come in. So, michdav v'maise, asara rabbanim mibeirav, because he wanted people, even though they were not dayanim, they were talmidim in the yeshiva, he wanted them to be able to set him straight, and they would see things from their point of view. And that way, he would share responsibility with them. So he used to say, "Ki eich delin tayin shiba mikishura." Look, if there's enough people there, you know, and we did make a mistake, at least all of us will only get one little tiny toothpick from that giant piece of wood that's going to smash us over the head. So it'll be shared by all of us. Rav Ashi, when Rav Ashi used to have a question about treifot. So what he would do is, he got together every single professional butcher, that was a bookie in the dinim of Trefa, in the entire city of Matabachasya, and he would say, look, this way all of us share the responsibility. I don't want to be the one to say that this is a kosher chicken. So Kiech Dilim Tayan Shiba Mikishura, he too wanted only a toothpick to be coming on his way from that big piece of wood. Kiyotu Ravdimi, Omar. When Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he said that Rav Nachman Bar Kohen said back in Eretz Yisrael, "May dechtiv melech b'mishpat yamid oretz ve'ish trumot yersena." This is sort of weird pasuk. If a king has justice, so he actually keeps the world going, but the man who gives donations, he'll destroy it? Well, what is that supposed to mean? Ah, that one means like this. If a dayan is like a melech, that means that he doesn't need other people to help him out. He doesn't need their support. He doesn't need them to teach him how it is he's supposed to be saying the din. Then he's going to be Yamid Aretz. He's going to keep the world up. But if he's like an Ish Trumot, who's an Ish Trumot, that's a kohen who goes out to collect truma. So he's totally dependent. Every time he needs a meal, he's got to go somewhere and he's got to get the meal. This guy, every time... Listen, you know, I got this case. I don't know a damn thing about this, but could you maybe tell me something so I don't look like an idiot? That kind of guy is not the guy that is going to be keeping things going. He's going to destroy the world. Yarasena, he should not be involved if he needs other people on any level. So once happened that the people that were, you know, the bureaucrats that were working in the Beit HaNasi, so they appointed a dayan. And he was not a knowledgeable dayan. He was what we're talking about over here, an ish trumot. Okay, so the nasi, he didn't know that this guy was an amaretz, you know. He thought, okay, they must have sifted through the applications. This guy looks like he's got a good smicha, whatever. So they said to Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, not Yehuda Bar Nachmeni, was a famous amora. And he was a meturgeman. And he would speak out the whole shir of Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was like the greatest shir you can imagine. They took the top guy to be able to be the one that would speak out the shir to the Talmidim. And they told him, listen, this is our new dayan. You should be his meturgeman. Okay. So, kuma alei b'amora. You be his amora. Okay. So Yehuda Bar Nachmeni comes over, bends over to hear, all right, that used to be that he would speak to the meturgeman, and then the meturgeman would announce and articulate the shir for everybody. So he's sitting there, waiting for him to say something. V'lo amar le v'lo mine. The guy didn't open up his mouth. So Yehuda Bar Nachmeni realized that this guy doesn't have anything to say. So he starts his drasha with the pasuk in Habakkuk, which says, Hoy omar le eitz hakitza, somebody who says to a piece of wood, wake up. This guy is a piece of wood. He says, Uri, nu, stand up, he says to an Evan Domain. This is like a piece of stone. This guy's got no brains. So tell me something. Hu yore? This guy, this is all the pasuk, right? Hu yore? He's going to teach you something. Hine hu tafusa havakesef. He is just covered over with the money that he paid to be a judge, where he paid off the bureaucrats. V'chol ruach ein bekirbo. He's not even alive inside. V'atid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lipora mima'amidim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to pay back the people that appointed this idiot. Shenema v'ashem bechal kacho. That's the next pasuk. Has b'ponav kol ha'aretz. Do you know who you're going to have to answer to? Oh, that was a rather embarrassing situation. Awkward, to say the least. Omar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish himself said that kol ha'ma'amid dayan she'eno agun, ki'ilu notea asheira b'Yisrael. We see this beautifully from the beginning of Parsha Shoftim. If you appoint somebody who is not ro'oi to be a dayan, it's as if you planted an asheira for Avodah Zarah, and it says, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha. And then comes the pasuk, which seems to be a complete non sequitur. Lo titalecha ashera kol eitz. What does it have to do with it? Because it means the shoftim v'shotrim, if they're not ru'uyim, they would be the equivalent of an ashera. Omer Vashi, that's even if you don't have anybody who is qualified, but if it's b'mokam sheyesh talmidei chachamim, then it's much worse. Read the rest of the pasuk. Lo titalacha kol asherah. Asherah kol eitz. Eitzum is bach Hashem Elokecha. That's like actually not only planting an asherah, but going into the Beis HaMikdash and planting the asherah right next to the Mizbeach, which of course is the Mokum of Din. And that would be merumas in the end of the pasuk. Furthermore, what does it say? Lo ta'asun hiti eloi chesev eloi zahav, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Do not make avodah zarah. What do you mean, from gold and silver? I mean, what if you make it from wood, or if you make it from plastic, then that's okay. Eloi chesev eloi zahav, hudelo avidi, but eitz is okay. Why does it say gold and silver? Amar Rav Ashi, what it means is, a god doesn't mean a god, it means a judge. Elohim, Eloah. So, Eloha Babishvil Kesef, appointees who bought their way into the political scene, and now you take him because he's got a lot of money, and you take Musk and you make him a government employee. You know, he's the guy that's going to be in charge. Or Eloha Babishvil Zahav, or Eloha Babishvil Bitcoin. Anyway, so this, getting back to what happens to a Dayan like this, Rav was so sensitive that Kiaviati Levedina, whenever he would go out of his home and he was on his way to the Beit Din, he would speak to himself. And he would say, what an idiot I am. Bir'ut nafshe liktol nafik. Look at this funny little man going to his own death, and he wants to go, because who knows what's going to happen. Utsvi beite letu avid. He doesn't do one thing for his own family. I mean, he's supposed to be making a living. How are you going to make a living being a dayan? So he doesn't do anything for his family. Verekan lebeite ayim. He comes back home with an empty wallet. And halavai shetei biyaki yitzia. Halavai that he would be able to be coming back in the same state that he left, you know, because if I make a slight mistake in the Bezdin, I'm finished. And Rav, when Rav would see that there were hundreds of people that were walking in from the Beis HaMikdash, and so much covered, he's surrounded, and everybody's giving him the old, you know, Yomim Ayamei Melech, and they're all singing and dancing around him. So what would he say to himself? He would say to himself the pasuk in Iyov, Im Ya'aleh L'Shamayim Siyov, a human being gets so choshev, he goes all the way up to the heavens, Kegelolola Netzach Yoved, he is going to be lost forever like a piece of dung. There's better ways of saying it, but that's basically what he would say to himself. So never get carried away by the wonderful importance of the people singing around you. Marzutra Chasida was old. They used to carry him on their shoulders when they brought him into the Beis HaMedrash. So Mechatfile B'Shabbata Derigla, when people would be carrying him like on a palanquin on the Shabbos when he was giving the shir in the public of the actual, you know, halacha shir that they would give during the regel, telling you over the dinim. So he used to say to himself, Kilo Leolam Chosen, Vim Nezer Lador Vador, don't think that power is there forever and that your beautiful crown is going to be there for all generations. Dorash Bar Kapara. So this halacha that is in Pirkei Avos, it opens up, this the dinim in Pirkei Avos, having mitunim bedin, be very slow and deliberate when you're giving over a psak. I know that because it says, lo ta'ale b'ma'alot, and then it says, ve'ila mishpatim asher tasim lefnehem. What's the connection? Lo ta'ale b'ma'alot. Don't run up the stairs when you're coming to Eila Mishpatim. Very ponderously, slowly, painstakingly, is the way to get there. Omar Rabbi Elazar, minayin l'dayan shelo yivsal roshei am kodesh. There's another remez over here. Why do you think, indeed, that they would carry Marzutra Chasida? Because a dayan that comes into the Beis HaMedrash has to be very careful not to step. Remember, people would sit like all around the floors. If you're walking in late after they're there, then you're stepping over them. And it says, Lo ta'aleh b'ma'alot lo ta'mizbechi ve'elah mishpatim. So even though you are coming in as the dayan of the Elah Mishpatim,
You don't expose yourself over people. That's disgusting. But you're walking on top of people. Then it says, Eloi Mishpatim, it says, Asher Tassim Lifnehem. What does it mean when it says Asher Tassim? Why doesn't it say, Eloi Mishpatim Asher Talamdem? These are the dinim that you should teach people. What do you mean, put it? What does it mean, put it? It's obviously referring to actual items, Asher Tassim Lifnehem, as a remez. And what is that remez? Elu Klei Hadayanim. These are the various things, they're actual things that can be put down. Well, what would that be? Well, Ravuna, Kavanovic Ladino, Ravuna would get up in the morning, he would be going out to the Bezdin, and he would say, listen here, where's my doctor's case? You know, everybody, if you're a carpenter, you're walking around with your toolbox, I'm a Dayan, where is my toolbox? Afikuli mani chanutai, bring me out my tools of trade. What are my tools of trade? Well, you know, we need a makel to beat people up, as the president has to beat people sometimes. We need a ritzua. We need a whip for people that need to be whipped into shape if I have to give them makas. We need a shufra to announce a nidui if people are not going to be listening or responding to a subpoena. We need a sandala. You never know. Somebody might come in for chalitza, I need to have a sandal ready, and so on. These are the things that I need. There's the tools that you have to take in your little toolbox when you're a dayan. Va'atzaveh et shoftechem ba'et ahi. So what exactly was this referring to? I gave this tzivoy. Remember that atzaveh, lashon of tzivoy, ein tzav b'chol makom, ela lashon zeros. Means be very, very active and proactive, meaning Om Rabbi Yochanan Kenegan Markel Viritsuat Ezariz. Be very active. Make sure that you make use of the tools that a Bezdin has to enforce itself and to establish a level of fear and deterrence. Do not defund the police. Shomoa ben Achechem. It says you're supposed to hear between the balei dinim, and then you judge them. Omer Rabbi Chanina, what is this? This is an asor labitin. Shelo yishma divrei ba'al din, kodem shevo ba'al din chaviro. You're not allowed to listen to somebody who's trying to tell you about his case. Listen, judge, I just wanted to mention to you, I got this case over here with Joe, and you know, he's... Shut up. Because essentially, you can't say, well, I'll hear what Joe has to say afterwards. No, Joe has to be there. It has to be a discussion. And it's never that you're listening to one party, even if you intend to hear the rest. So before the other Baldin shows up, do not let the guy talk. And Azar LaBaldin Shelo Yatim Devarav LaDayan. This is equally an isser for somebody who has a court case to try to speak to the judge, kodem shiyavo baldin chaveiro, before the other party to the suit is there in court. Because it's not only shamoa, it's also shameya, meaning make yourself heard. If you are one of the balei dinim, only ben achichem, only when both are there. Rav Kana says, well, that comes from the direct pasuk, lo tisa shema shav, which can also be read as lo tasi shema shav. So don't accept, don't carry something that's false, and hearing one side of a story is ipso facto false. And it also can be read, don't carry, meaning don't be the one that brings that false words. Ushvatem tzedek, Amar HaShlokesh, first tzadeket hadin. Always test and make certain that it's 100% correct before you issue a verdict. Don't figure you'll say something and then you'll be able to take it back and you'll fix it. And it has to be 100% clear when you render the psak. Bein ish, ubein achiv, ubein geiro. What does that mean? Omer of Yehuda, well, first of all, bein ish, ubein achiv. That means two people inherit a home. So you got two brothers. One of them gets the bottom floor. One of them gets the top floor. They were two completely identical units. So you figure, okay, I'll give one to one and one to the other.
But it's not necessarily true, because there is always a difference in the value of a level floor where it's level with the ground and has access to the garden, or you have to go up a flight of stairs. Don't say, well, I gave you exactly the same apartment. What is the market value of those apartments? If there's a difference in the market value, then the one who had the higher market value has got to give half of that to his other brother. It's only a $5 mark. Doesn't matter what it is. It has to be even Ben Ish Ben Achiv. And when it says Ben Geiro, what does that mean, Ben Geiro? Ben Geiro means things that are part of your living tools. So, for instance, you've got a family that had an oven and it has a stovetop. You can't say, well, I give the oven to one brother and we'll give the stovetop to the other brother. Afilo ben tanur likirayin. What's the difference in the value? Lo takiru panim b'mishpat. Rabbi Yehuda says this means lo takireu, takireu in the sense of care and love, which is ki'adativ. Or Rabbi Eliezer says, no, but it also means don't treat him like, oh, I know you. Meaning lo tinakrehu, if you hate the guy's guts, do not let that enter into the case. There was once a case of Ushbezichme de Rav, the Asla Kamil Dinas. It was one of them when Rav was a Talmud. So he used to stay in a Padirim. You remember that there's this concept of the Ushbezichin, which are people used to take the various kids in the yeshiva and they would support them. They would live in their homes. They would give them food. That was the Ushbezichme. So years later, a guy that Rav had lived with for years and had supported him as a kid, he comes to the Bezit of Rav. And he said to Rav, you remember, you were my guest for all those years. Yes, indeed, says Rav. So he says, well, I have a din that I'd like you to be the dayan for. So Rav said to him, of course, I can't give you a din because, you know, I mean, I know you and it's pasyon l'chaladina. It's just as points out, he wasn't literally puzzled, but he felt that he had a netiyah to the man. So Rav says to Rav Kahana, listen, I have to keep myself out of this one. Why don't you handle this case? Okay, so Rav Kahana took the guy, Chazya. So he sees that he's got this attitude, the Kogoyz Bey, and he keeps talking about Rav, you know, Rav, my friend, Rav. And he thinks that this is going to make an impact on Rav Kahana, and that Rav Kahana is going to be treating him differently because of his close relationship with Rav. So Rav Kahana said to him, listen, buddy, eat tzaita tzaita. Either you're going to accept this din like everybody else around here, and if not, I'm going to take Rav, I'm going to squeeze him out of your ears. You never mention his name again, you understand? Mafikna l'cha Rav mi'unach. I'm going to be taking him out of your ears by putting you into cherem. I don't like hearing this kind of talk. You're here like everybody else, and you sit here like every other defendant. Okay, a nice insight into the various elements of the details of the various shitas, Benogea Pshara and Benogea Din, and beautiful, beautiful, lovely, exciting ways of understanding the chashivas of Din and how it is that one has to conduct himself in the Beis Din, the responsibility for Din, all on this beautiful Daf Zayin. Can remember it by the sword between your legs. All right, so now you'll never forget Daf Zayin.